time you stop by here?
How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio. We certainly have a lot to talk about today, and I'm here with the very distinguished consumer advocate, Joseph Evangelist, who is always very plentiful with information, and I'm very pleased to hear from our listeners who enjoy what he has to say. In fact, one of the listeners said to me last week, we should run Joe for Congress or for Senate, because he would really give them the full treatment when he gets there. That's right, that we have to bring forth a mob mentality. First of all, I'm going to ask all of you to go to your telephone, invite a family member or friend to tune in here on 860 AM radio if you're living in the Philadelphia and tri-state area. And if you live at a distance or anywhere in the world, you can contact someone and let them know that they can tune in simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, and you will hear the broadcast crystal clear from anywhere you live. Well, Joseph, for the last few years, I've been speaking out about, to the best of my ability, about what we can do to help American workers, because I see that we, the American people, simply can't sit back and do nothing to see what's happening to our jobs and economy. We've seen the whole thing fall down upon us. In fact, I was very concerned just the other day to hear it announced that for the very first time, such a large number of Americans are living in poverty. One out of every six Americans are living in poverty. We haven't had that since the 1960s, prior to the civil rights legislation. And there is just too many things placing people in poverty almost on their own. And I believe that one voice does make a difference, because I see that from the responses, from my commentaries on the radio broadcasts, from what I'm getting in the emails. And I'm really pleased that more and more of the radio programs are picking up the commentaries that I do on the Saturday broadcast and putting it in on their public airtime, which has been a great way to unite people. I only wish that more people had done that over the years, we would be much better off than what we are. I see here that the American people have sat back and did nothing. They allowed entitlements to grow. They never contacted their elected officials to see why this was growing. Entitlements actually hurt all of our small businesses. It's killed them, because every time a tax is increased, another small business finds a way to leave us. As people, I was out yesterday to a mall, and I went around to some of the businesses. Naturally, I wanted to see the situation between American-made and foreign-made. And each of the business people and the store personnel told me that they don't know about their jobs, because coming to the mall is now, you know, people are not coming out. Even in the cool weather, you would see people coming to the malls and load the malls up just to be in the air-conditioned places. They're not coming out. They're not, if they are, they're walking through the food court and places like that, but they're not going into the stores to buy. So I stopped a few people, and they said to me, I'm sorry to say, I wouldn't change me if it was made in America or not made in America, because I don't have any money. I have no stability. And when I get something, it's going to be taxed up and gobbled up for the use of someone else rather than me having the money to use on my. Joseph, heard my little spiel. What would you say?
Well, the first thing that I have to say is the 1 in 6 in poverty number is completely misleading. I mean, yes, it's accurate. 1 in 6 people earn less than the poverty level. But last week I was listening to the Dom Giordano show on Thursday, and I tried to call in because they were talking about Michelle Obama's war against obesity and that people are arguing that we need to hire recess trainers at school and so that the kids will exercise, and you know, we have to extend the school year for the food lunch. And I realized that there's a common theme across all of this is the government is on both sides of the pieces. For weeks we've been talking about, you know, this, the school districts are adding free breakfast and free lunch, and that the school lunch program is the number one fraud-ridden thing that the company, it's worse than unemployment insurance, it's worse than Medicaid, it loses a fortune every year. So the catch is why is that the issue? Well, let's look at it this way, is the government moved in and there was maybe 1% of kids who weren't being fed by their parents. So the government solution was we're going to make food more available. Now, so they made free breakfast, free lunch. Now, here's the catch is the school solution is if the kid's hungry, they can eat. Now, according to my kids, the school has a pyramid of food 3 feet high of trays of stuff that kids can walk up. And then at the end of the period, people walk around and hand out food to the kids, which means that children come in with a lunch, they eat their lunch, then they eat the school lunch. Or they eat two school lunches, or three school lunches, or they stick them in their book bag and eat them later. Well, the problem is the government has funded the child obesity problem through the school lunch program. The solution is now these kids eat two lunches, they go home, they eat one lunch, they're still hungry, the parents take them to one of the places in the summer to get a free lunch, free snack. So we're teaching these children that food is free and how to overeat. Now the government has funded the cause, which is the cause of obesity through the fund, and now they want to fund the opposite side of the program to fight obesity. We have this on the parenthood side. We spend millions of dollars to distribute condoms. There's 100 locations in Philadelphia where you can get free condoms. Last year, actually the 2009, the last year statistics are available, there were 4.1 million births in the United States in that year. 37% of those births were unintended. It was person didn't plan to get married, or they didn't plan to have a child, or didn't plan to have a child in the next 2 years. Of those 37%, which is about 1.5 million births, the births cost $11 billion. The kid went to the hospital, kid was born, $11 billion cost. Medicaid paid 75% of them. So the fact is we're funding one end of the spectrum, condom distribution, Planned Parenthood, whatever it is, we're paying for the other end in Medicaid, WIC, welfare. And this is where we have an issue in this country is the Democrats say we'll fund both sides. The Republicans say pick a side. Either we pay before or we pay after. And this is where we have an issue with the income inequality gap. And I was reading an article from U.S. News and World Report by Rick Newman, and I want to read a couple paragraphs that he had about income inequality. He says, the big question is what to do about it. And here's where the policy wonks arguing about income inequality break ties with real Americans. Experts on both sides typically call for new policies in Washington to fit whatever they feel is wrong with the unequal incomes. But policy changes won't solve most of the problems ordinary people face, and even if they did, it would take years. Relying on solutions from Washington, in fact, may be the very thing that generates dangerous unintended consequences. If you think politicians will help you get ahead, then you'll be less likely to take action on your own to make yourself better off. What politicians and policymakers really ought to be telling struggling Americans is this: you're on your own, the government's running out of money, and is borderline dysfunctional besides. Instead of new policies that will make the economy more fair, we need more self-efficient workers who aren't looking to government for answers. And I looked at this, and I've had a few discussions with people. I mean, I pointed out that Walter Williams, who's a black economist and a Republican, he had said years ago that the welfare system has done to the black families what slavery could not do.
It's destroyed
the family.
Yes.
And people were really up and livid that I quoted that. But here's the thing that you have to look at is we say 1 in 6 people live below the poverty line, but the Congressional Budget Office just came out with the information on tax and transfer rates. And this is more, in my opinion, a better way of looking at it. It's not what you earn, it's what you have in, quote, spendable net income. So this is what you earn plus your tax credits, earned income tax credit, plus TANF, plus Medicaid, plus, you know, food stamps, plus housing subsidy. So this is what you get as a net gain. And here's what it came out with. Is the lowest, they broke it into quintiles, into five groups, the highest earning, the lowest earning. The lowest earning people in this country receive $3 in government funding for every dollar they earn. Now, basically what this means is the lowest group makes up to $10,000 a year, but with government subsidies, they live a lifestyle of somebody who has $40,000 to spend, okay? The next group up gets 42 cents for every dollar they earn. They make up to about $38,000 a year. Now, but here's the problem is, if you're making $10,000 a year in this country, you have a $40,000 lifestyle. If you're making $45,000 in this country, you have a $35,000 lifestyle. And people say that's impossible. Well, no, it isn't, because as you move up to the $42,000 level, you lose your housing subsidy, you lose your earned income tax credit, you lose Medicaid, you lose CHIP, you lose all of your exchange subsidies, you lose TANF, and everything goes. So basically what it is the sweet spot is to be on the low side because you want to qualify for more. So essentially what you end up with is we have this gap is if you're earning $10,000 today, you need to get above $45,000 to maintain that lifestyle. That's a $35,000 gap. It's going to take people years. When you look at this, is a person who gets a $10 an hour raise gets to keep $1 an hour to himself, and the other $9 gets taken away out of the programs. So the question is, do you want to
work
that hard to get that extra dollar? Because it may take you 20 years to get the $10,000 raise, but you're only going to keep a dollar because everything else is going to go to the subsidy. And this is where you have the problem is we have this gap. The Democrat solution is to boost the number of people who qualify. So instead of it being $45,000, we're going to boost it up to 60. So the people who are making 40 now, they'll get a boost from the government because they'll qualify for more programs.
More programs, right.
And we'll have the higher end people. The problem is you're still going to have people making $10,000 who are going to have a lifestyle well above what they're doing, and the gap is going to spread. So the catch here is, it's what, as I tried to explain to somebody, it's the equivalent of walking uphill and finding the Grand Canyon. And you have a choice. You can climb down 100 feet down into the hole, go across, climb up the other side, and continue moving forward with life. Or you can come to the cliff and say, I don't want to move. Well, what's happening now is we have lots of people who are coming to the cliff and saying, well, climbing down and climbing up is too hard. Let the guys on the other side send stuff over to me. And the guys on the other side are saying, we came across, you come across.
Right.
And the issue is they want to either helicopter them over, move them forward, or transfer things back. The Democrat solution is we're going to try and keep shifting things back over. And they're creating this all or nothing. Is there's two ways that you could do it. Is you can cut welfare on the low end and use the money to fill in the gap so ultimately there's less of a transition. You know, you knock the hole down to 10 feet deep, many more people can go across easily. That's the Republican method. We stop giving stuff on this side and we use what we're paying now on the low side to the poor people, welfare, entitlements, etc. We use that to fill in the gap so that we allow people to transition forward easier. That's the Republican methodology. The Democratic methodology is to take it from the people on the better side and have them fill in the whole hole to benefit everybody else. Nowhere in the United States is there actually a proposal that says both sides put all of their stuff into the hole to try and phase it out. You know, we fight now over the tax refunds. Only over $250,000, but that's only a third of the money. the two-thirds of the money that still goes down in the earned income tax credit and the tax credits for middle income and lower income are still on the table. The fact is we're not going to fill in the hole by only taking a third of it. The solution is to take it all. You know, if you want to do it, is everybody suffers for the next 5 years, and then things get better.
We move forward. When I come back, I'm going to explain what we just talked about as it refers to American workers, because American workers and business people are voicing their concerns about being taxed to pay for all those programs while they're working and trying to earn a living, which in many cases doesn't get them as many benefits as they do on entitlements. We'll be back in a moment.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
The office of Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521.
After a long day of play, give your kids what they really want. Great-tasting snacks and meals from Giorgio. Giorgio's delicious mozzarella sticks, toasted American cheese sticks, and macaroni cheese triangles will satisfy even your pickiest eater. Since 1928, Giorgio has stood for quality and nutrition, so you can count on them for great taste and convenient snacks and appetizers. Look for these great Giorgio products and more in your grocer's freezer, and for recipe ideas, log on to GiorgioFoods.com.
Good morning once again. I hope you're enjoying our broadcast. And many of the things that we're doing during these Wednesday broadcasts is trying to let people know why many businesses are not interested to return to America, because they see that so much of their money is directed to entitlements, they're overtaxed, overregulated. And then we see here that there's a gap in the USA regarding this job skills as a result of the entitlements. Back in 1950 and 60 and in the 70s, people had many job skills. No matter what type of job it was, they had job skills. As jobs left, people were forced into entitlement programs, and that is where they stayed. Many of the people that you hear discussing this on TV say it's been such a turnaround in the United States that it's really disgusting. Quite frankly, I just want to quote this because I'm putting it in my Saturday commentary. The unemployment numbers that you see on TV are really not fact, because they don't include the people who are no longer on unemployment. They're off the national records. They don't include the young people graduating from school that haven't been able to find a job. They don't include moms that would like to get back into the workforce now that their kids are in school. It doesn't include any of these people. And quite frankly, today we only have 45% of the American people between 18 and 60 years old employed. At one time, it was 60% of that age group. So we're 15%. To make it quite understandable in today's terms, we have 314 million people living in America. You can see that on the national debt clock, which is located on the front page of American Workers Need You. You go there, it shows you how many people are on the rolls of unemployment, which is not an accurate fact because it says actual unemployed, that's 24 million people, but it's really 44 million people when you put in everybody that's looking for a job. Any country should be able to employ 60% of its people. So if you have a calculator and you put in 314 million people times 60%, that gives you a total of about 188 million people should be employed. Right now we're employing 143 million, so we are way, way off base. And as you ride down the roads and you look in the shopping centers and you look at all the manufacturing facilities and the offices and the trucking companies, everything is closed up. So the jobs are not there to send the people. So the entitlements continue to grow. And here we are between government forcing itself to cater to all the entitlement programs, but no one, there is absolutely no national leader that is speaking up about bringing jobs back. We're looking at a campaign now. We're getting 100 days away from the actual election. And here, no candidate has given us a written plan as to what they are going to do to bring jobs back. Can they open enterprise zones, which we talked about on this radio program, and an elected official chastised me about it. He said to me, Michael, that's only going to take money out of the tax coffers of the cities and the counties if you give more enterprise zones. I said, but you'll make that tax money up by people working and paying
tax. That's not the issue. And the issue is... We all had a discussion about the cost of education.
Education has to come in line. We have to get
jobs. You're missing the point. Piece that I just said is there's a gap of $35,000. Now here's the catch.
We can't worry about $35,000. We got to worry about the minimum wage job to the highest paid job. What are we going to do to get people off entitlements and back into the workforce?
The answer is economically, you don't want to. And here's the
why not?
Okay, Urban Institute has a calculator. It's called the Net Income Change Calculator. And basically what it does is it's on their site. And basically what it does is you tell how many hours you work, where you live, how many hours you work, and it tells you what you can get in government services.
Joe,
hold on.
You're playing always the devil's advocate. I'm going to be, called the angel's advocate at this point. The thing is this, you're taking the position that the people are looking what they can get from the government.
No, it's not.
Taking the position? What are they going to get from work? Work cannot be a scary word.
The answer is you can't work with the jobs you want to bring back won't get the people. And that's what the calculator shows you. When you look at how much we give in entitlements, the person who makes $7.25 an hour and the person who makes $17.25 an hour have the same net income.
Okay, Joseph, let's do this. Let's speak now for the rest of the program as if every entitlement was dead. Okay. What do we do to get the people back to work? Every entitlement is gone. No food in the schools If you don't eat at home, you sit in the no freebies here and there, no condoms, no nothing. What happens next?
Well, at that point,
wait a second, I just heard something.
Well, to be absolutely honest, is people would go out and find a way to do it.
They would find a way if they have pride and respect in themselves. They would find a way.
Yes, but until the people vote to kill the things, there's no reason. The problem is the net income change calculator says is if you are on all the entitlements today, you make minimum wage, you work part time, and you get a $10 an hour raise, your lifestyle does not improve. Now, the argument is, here's the catch is, this has been the argument for education, is if $10 an hour raise doesn't improve your lifestyle, you can't take a standard manufacturing job. You need to go into a professional service industry, and we're going to push you to education.
The service industries are what killed this country. Everybody thought that they were going to sit around and be advisors and counselors and you name it, but they never thought about the day-to-day stuff. When I went to the mall yesterday, first of all, some of these people were shocked at my questions. And they said, you must have watched Diane Sawyer. And I said, I did. I went over to the shirts and I said, it's a beautiful shirt. I'm going to buy it. And the guy was really thrilled. And then I said, and by the way, where is it made? And I looked at the tag and I said, I know. He says, why? He said, you must have watched Diane Sawyer show. I said, yes, I did. And I said, what do you have in your store that is American made? And the guy just stood there and he said, well, under contract, we probably won't get that turned around for another year or two. And then I spoke to the one guy who's been there for 6 years, and he said to me, well, this is how it works. When you go with a foreign merchandiser, they will take a contract for 8 or 10 years, and then you just continue to give them your orders, and they continue to make it, and you continue to receive it in your store, and no one was ever questioning it. Until the last few years, people started to question, why is everything made in a foreign country and not in America? The problem we are suffering with is this, and we discussed this some time ago, is that those foreign countries, foreign merchandisers, foreign manufacturers have a contract with these companies that's going to last another 3 or 4 years. So the only way we are going to do it is to get away from those brands is we have to come up with new brands.
Well, it's
competing brands instead of Joe Evangelist brand, it has to be Joe Even brand or something where we're going to do it. And I said to the guy, I went to the mall yesterday and I was shocked at the amount of stuff that's in every store imaginable and nothing made in America. How do we expect our people? No wonder the government has to focus all of its time and efforts on entitlements, because there's no way they can take care of what's needed, and that's jobs, because everybody's at the door looking for some entitlement.
Well, this is a Gordian knot problem. The Gordian knot problem is one that you can't solve without changing the rules and cheating. Is basically the problem is in economics, the goal is to maximize what's best for all the parties. As we discussed earlier, is for the working poor, being a working poor person and collecting government services is more profitable than having the entry-level $40,000 a year job.
How do we make it less profitable?
Hold on. Now let's take the other side of this. For businesses like Walmart, who is vilified for this. So for Walmart, is paying low-wage jobs and letting their people collect entitlements maximizes their profits. So look at it. The Walmart model, from an economic standpoint, maximizes the benefit to the worker because they're collecting government services. It maximizes the profit to the company. And from a politician's standpoint, is The workers get entitlements, they're going to vote for you. The corporations are making profits, they're going to throw money into your coffers. This is an optimal economic situation as we define politics in America. It maximizes what the people at the bottom get, it maximizes what the people at the top get, and both of these contribute to the political parties. The Gordian knot solution is you have to change the playing field. If the government collapsed, if the money supply collapsed,
And it's collapsing.
And people,
we're near $16 trillion in debt. It is collapsing.
Well, it's...
Where do we borrow? From who? What? Do we go to the moon next to borrow money? We should not be $5 trillion in the hole.
Well, you see, the argument that people are making is America will be safer than the alternatives. As long as everybody swirls further down the drain faster than we do, as long as they're further in the hole, people will throw money into our hole.
You're right. And when I come back, we're going to talk about what we need in national leaders and what everyone listening and the people that will be listening as they can during the next few days on the internet, what can you do to make an impact on your national elected leaders? We'll be back in a moment. I'm Michael Blihash, and I'm here with Joseph Evangelist. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866. Or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Welcome back to our Wednesday morning edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. I hope that you're enjoying our conversation. And from the email responses that we receive, I'm really pleased that people are getting a little bit of an education. They're helping us to spread the word. because we are in a difficult situation in the USA. Instead of our national elected leaders in Washington sitting around wondering how they can give tax breaks to businesses to relocate here so that our people could go to work and be independent, they're sitting around worrying about what entitlements can be given to able-bodied people, people who could be working, people who always worked over the years, and now instead of us having 60% of Americans employed, they're down to 43%. What I'm suggesting is America needs national elected leaders to demonstrate that they're leaders, to act like leaders, to do what leaders do, to make tough choices. We need to change our ailing economy in the USA. Leaders have to identify what new jobs. I'm very disappointed with this campaign, quite frankly, but all the candidates. What are they talking about our future? What is a fair share? When somebody says that, it really infuriates me.
I never asked anybody for a fair share.
I paid my taxes. I worked all my... What is a fair share? What exactly does that mean?
Fair is subjective. Here's the catch, is if you're making $10,000 a year, and we're going to say, yes, you make $10,000 a year, so you're poor, but your lifestyle is a $40,000 a year lifestyle with government subsidies.
But you only made $10,000.
It doesn't matter. Your lifestyle is
$40,000. We don't want that to continue.
Right.
What happens if all entitlements die? You don't get back then at the end of the year what you didn't pay in.
Well, if they went to that, then you'd see family units respond. You'd have like a community mentality, almost like the Israeli
Everybody
kibbutz.
Would help one another.
Right. You'd have small groups. But if you want to move as a big group, you want to be the Black Congress, you want to be the poor, you want to be the unions, you want to move as a huge mass block, you can't turn quickly. It takes years to do that. I explained to my son you have a choice. And this is how investing in America is you have a choice. You're going to get a gravel sandwich or a sand sandwich. You know, they both suck. You know, they're both dirt. But the fact is investment opportunities, if you invest in Europe or you invest in America, America looks good. Is it a good investment? Not really. But compared to the alternatives, it looks good.
Profit-wise, as I go around, and I have been going around to stores just to talk to the people, many of the merchants, by the way, say that people are walking in asking for American-made items, which I'm really pleased about. However, when they don't have the American-made items they're looking for, the people walk out the door, and that's a loss of a sale. And that's, in one respect, it's good because the store is being punished at the time. When I talk to these people, I say, well, then why don't you speak to your merchandisers and say that you want more American-made items on your buy sheet? And they say, well, the reason is, and we've discussed this in the past, majority of the merchandisers are heavily invested in foreign countries. So why should they try to promote an American-made product, maybe made in Pennsylvania or North Carolina or California, when they can promote the same product and get 60% more on a dollar profit for themselves? But this is the mentality of what we've been trying to do here through this broadcast and the commentaries. And I appreciate your assistance and Nick's assistance and Paul's assistance and everyone involved, because people are waking up. Can you imagine how different we would be looking out at this election if the presidential candidates were talking as we are talking here right now? And what is stopping them from discussing this? American people want to see results. I don't want to see somebody sitting around throwing innuendos. This one has money. This one did this. I don't care. What I care about is what is going to be the future of my children, pray God, their children, your children, Henry's children. Everybody has to have a place in the world where they can be self-supported. The whole world cannot look upon America as a growing entitlement society.
Well, there's a
they took our jobs already, so we are a growing entitlement society.
It's not that. It's the, in my opinion, is the catch here is the people at the bottom, the poor, the people who were helping out, who need help, need to make a decision to go on their own. I had this issue in business when I was working with somebody and this is where small business owners and people don't want to invest in this country. Is if you have a guy who's making $10,000 a year and he's got a $40,000 lifestyle and you offer him an entry level job in your area and he's going to work 40 hours a week, he's going to now earn $25,000 a year working for you. He's going to qualify for some government entitlements. And he's still going to have his $40,000 lifestyle because the government's going to subsidize him up to that level. Mm-hmm. So here's the catch is the guy comes in, the business is cruising along, you know, landscape business, for example. The guy has $500,000 in equipment, trucks and everything else that he needs. And the guy comes in and he says, you know, I'm making $25,000 a year. I'm not any better off than I was when I was sitting at home. I need more money. Well, you know, you have all these trucks and everything else. I need more money. Well, the fact is okay, you give the guy a buck an hour raise. He's now making, you know, $28,000 a year. The government subsidizes him. He still has his $40,000 lifestyle. He comes back. He says, you know, I need more money. My lifestyle isn't improving. Well, the problem is you can't take an entry-level worker and boost his base salary up above $40,000 and maintain a profit. So what happens is if you want to move the worker up high enough that his lifestyle improves when the government is giving him $30,000 worth of stuff, you have to basically sell your business and move out because you can't maintain the business anymore.
Exactly. However, let me pose this to you. Suppose the government said, we will make sure that you're within a certain poverty guideline. Just a second, let me explain that to you. The government said, if you work and you earn $25,000 a year, you earn $25,000, we will assist you so that you will be able to have additional income to reach that dollar amount that you need. Now, what I'm saying by this is this. I would rather see someone working, and if they don't get enough money from the job that they're working at as they go up the ladder, we can assist. But right now, most of this is 100% from dollar one to the last dollar. It's on our doorstep. We have got to come to some level where our businesses are not killed supporting entitlements because they're spitefully leaving the country to make full profit. Sooner or later, there will be nobody buying anything. I was in the mall at 7 o'clock yesterday when I tell you, if there were 100 people in that mall, and I've been there many times over the years, there were 100 people in that mall. That was a lot. How are they keeping the lights on? I mean, I walked into 7 or 8 stores yesterday just to see what's available. In fact, the one guy knew that I always ask for American made, so he was already prepared as soon as I entered. He said, no, we don't have it. We still didn't get that in American made yet. But, you know, he said to me, he's the guy that told me, he said, we have long-term contracts, and until we get these contracts run out, we're stuck with these foreign made products, these shirts and all in our store. My thing is this. The government can always help you to get up, but the government should not be your total breadwinner.
Well, that's not the issue. Is there's two big problems that we have in the entitlement area, other than trying to push people in them. Is one is the transitional gap of $30,000 in salary increases to actually improve your lifestyle is way too big because it takes people years to get that much in raises, which means that people are working full time for years and seeing no improvement. Now, what this does is as they work, they're not seeing their life getting better, and they get disgruntled. And they don't want to do it, and they think that this work is a waste, and I'm better off dropping back out of the workforce and whatever else. And two is, the jobs that people have are not fulfilling to them. We don't teach people how to enjoy what they're doing. Is, you know, the Michelle Obama was saying, you know, we need to hire recess coordinators because kids don't understand how to play and conflict resolution. The fact is people don't know how to select something to do, work, and enjoy it. The small business owner who works 95 hours a week and takes home $30,000 a year, he's not doing that for the money. He's doing that because he enjoys it. A lot of these were hobbies or whatever that they converted into businesses. And it's not huge profits. It's that you're enjoying what you're doing. You have fun. Mm-hmm. People don't make this transition. What we need to do is we need to narrow the gap so that the raise area is not there, and provide short-term assistance, not long-term.
When we come back, I'm going to put Joe in a very special position, because as I speak to our listeners, many of them had no idea about the school situations, the entitlements, and they're very appreciative of us talking about this. But I am going to put Joe in a very special situation. He doesn't even know what I'm going to do, but we're going to give him an assignment and expect him to explain it on air. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For your weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. And by Steam My Carpets, which serves commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at 1-877-778-3263 or visit steammycarpets.com. The law firm of Dominic Rostowski is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostowski Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostowski on the internet at rostowski.com. Dominic Rostowski, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language.
The office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. Today we're discussing jobs, entitlements, and what are we going to do to get America's national leaders to act like leaders and lead us out of this unbelievable recession and lead us to the point where we will be able to restore our industries, to restore our jobs, restore job skills, and get America back on its feet again. We see what's happening in other parts of the world, and that's very great that we're concerned about that. But I really believe we have to be concerned about America first. As I said before I went to the break, I'm going to ask Joe Evangelist to play a very special role today. If you were elected president of the United States and the mandate was entitlements die, I'm not talking about entitlements if it's some youth or for the elderly or the infirmed, none of those entitlements. I'm talking about for able-bodied people. You're now the man in charge, and you're going to have to take action. What series of plans would you put in effect, and how long do you think it would take?
Well, the first thing to realize is who the president of the United States is almost irrelevant, considering that we have Congress and they're completely dysfunctional at this point. Assuming that you were able to mandate what you would do with Congress, and you know it was a short-term dictatorship or a parliament where you could have a vote of no confidence and get rid of them, you know, there are a few things that I would do. Is, and it would be relatively simple, is one, I would make government entitlements a loan type program. And I would, whether it's welfare, entitlement, etc., I would model it after what we use with college education for military people, for the ROTC, etc. Is you go to college, the government funds your college education, they pay your bills. At the end of it, you have a choice. You pay a loan or you pay back in time, which is perfectly fine. So here's what I would do is, I would go in, you go in, you need welfare, you need WIC, you need housing support, that's fine. Your social goes in, your kids need something, your social security number comes in, everything that you get from the number is logged. You have a choice. You can pay it back via tax returns that are trapped, similar to what they do with child support. You can pay it back by working in the neighborhood. So basically, you have whatever your job is, we make up for the additional area, and on the weekends, you know, you're cleaning graffiti, you're cleaning the streets, you're cleaning up the park, you're working at the pool, you're working volunteering at the rec center, and you get qualifications for that. Basically, what it is the government services that you are provided require some give back. And hopefully what we can do is the give back would allow two things. Is one, by these people working in these other areas, they would either gain experience or gain connections, which would allow them to get off of the programs over time. The second side of it is we wouldn't be paying for services that people could already render. So basically what we have right now is we are paying for services that are being paid, like rec center, schools, education, etc. And we're paying for people on the other side. There is nothing that says that you can't take childcare, for example. Let's say you have a woman, she's working in the childcare industry, as a simple example. She has a kid, she's a single mother, and she can't work in childcare because it doesn't pay enough money and put her kid in childcare, school, etc. So we have, or a teacher, or whatever the scenario is. So what you do is you take that person's skill and you place them into an area that the government needs help, whether it's childcare, education, teacher aid in school, whatever else. And for the time that they do that, you boost what they get in government subsidies. It's basically, right now we have an income transfer via these entitlement programs. The problem is the money only goes one direction. It moves from the government out
to you,
to the recipient. Right. The problem is the recipient is never required to put anything back in.
Right.
For example, is they're having,
this is the whole point of why we elected you president, because I like what you have to say. And you are saying exactly what I hear from the business owners in the malls and other places that I go. We can't continue to be Santa Claus 365 days a year.
Well, it's more of an issue is I mean, technically, I've been on both ends. I've made over $100,000 and I've made under 15. When I started my business, I could have qualified for every program that the government offers. And there are people like me who won't go on the program. And the reason is I didn't want the program to blunt the fact that I was not earning enough to maintain my household. The fact that I was running at a deficit was the equivalent of the dog chasing me down the street. The fact is sending the dog catcher to keep the dog off of me doesn't spur me to move forward. It spurs me to let up. And that's the problem that we have with the way the programs work is there has to be a time frame that you're going to get off.
The time frame, there was a time frame, from what I understand, over the years. Right now, from what I see, national leaders have been just worried about upgrading the entitlements, never working with people so that they would be able to be self-sufficient. And that's where all the governments went bankrupt in the world. They gave too much and received too little from the people paying into the system.
Actually, the government where they had a problem, it was even worse. And this is why we're seeing huge losses in state governments, why we're seeing massive groups being hit, is the black unemployment is way up as governments are laying off. But here's the catch is, if you recall what I said is, we have two people. We have payments going to people to support their household, and we have payments going to people who are managing the payments that are going to the entitlements. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the catch is, What has been slashed in this piece is the people who are managing the entitlements. We're not cutting the entitlements. We're cutting the jobs that manage the entitlements.
Right.
So the catch here is we need to merge these groups into one. And yes, we will still pay entitlements for years to come, but it should slowly phase down as we transition people through.
What timeline would you put on this transition? I mean, our government has been upping these entitlements for probably 40-plus years. We have to do it in an emergency situation. We're on the top of the hill of the roller coaster right now. Well, how do we go down?
Well, I would actually change more things. Is I would basically set a line in the sand and say the rules change on this day. Similar to what they did with bankruptcy. So if you're in the welfare program, you're on the welfare program. If you go into the welfare program in the future and you have one child, you get a rate fixed. If you have another child, you're already in the system. Your rate doesn't change because you're already in the system. You enter the system once. Things don't keep changing. I would do the same thing with the prison system. Is today prisoners have a whole batch of stuff. I would build a new prison over here. And when you go to that prison,
nothing there.
It's very sparse. You know, we go back to Spartan. We don't spend 25 cents on the dollar on prisoners. You take a look at this tragedy in Aurora, okay? Then they're talking about a gentleman who has no insurance. He may cost $2 million for his Medicaid to cover his brain damage. The problem is we're going to spend $2 million on the assailant also.
Yeah.
You can't cover both sides of the equation.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue our conversations in the future. Remember, you can send me your feelings by going to michael@americanworkersradio.com. Today was another interesting conversation with Joe Evangelist. What we're trying to do is make sure that people know what we're going through in this country and what we're going to have to change in order for us to attract jobs back, because we can't be collecting taxes from the businesses. That's only discouraging them and giving them out on entitlements. We have to bring back sanity to the USA. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. You can listen to a rebroadcast in a little bit by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Until Saturday at 11 right here on 860 AM Radio, I wish you the very best. Tune in tomorrow and Friday for programming in the Polish language with Tadeusz Toropatski. Do widzenia.